but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I feel like this music belongs like in a Western. When I was a kid, I'd watch Westerns on TV on like a Sunday afternoon. Or that Vincent Price kind of murder mystery show that would go on. I don't know. I wonder what Trent Bray watched as a kid. Oregon State football coach Trent Bray joining us now. What TV did you watch as a kid? What do you remember?
Oh, geez. Well, the old Batman series.
Oh, yeah. With like, where they would go pow and say, like, you know, like the thing would pop up on the screen. Yeah. And Catwoman would come on every once in a while. It's kind of scandalous when she came on, but I remember that as well. More of a Batman. Everyone was a Batman fan, but I always felt bad for Robin. Because Robin never got his due. Who's like, if Batman is your quarterback, who's Robin on a football team?
No, that's a good question. It'd be the running back for sure.
Okay, Batman and Robin. I also think too. Like, let me ask you this question in a recruiting stance. You never thought you were going to get these questions about Batman and recruiting, but all right. So if I can give you an elite player at any position. What position do you want? Who's coming off the board?
Defensively, it's either going to be it's probably going to be a pass rusher.
Yeah.
Offensively, it's going to be a quarterback.
Okay. Now, you're a defensive guy, so if I said to you as the head coach, I'm going to give you either a pass rusher who's an elite pass rusher, NFL first-round draft pick pass rusher, or an NFL first-round pick quarterback, I think you're taking the pass rusher.
You'd be right, yeah.
Because you disrupt everything. Have you guys feel like you've done enough job disrupting opposing offenses this season?
No. I think we've gotten better. I think we're starting to see the last 2 weeks, especially against probably two of the best O-lines we've seen and will see. Production start, which is good, but we still got to be much better.
All right, and you're not going to take a moral victory, but I think you were ahead 7-7 at the end of the first quarter against Oregon. I was watching that game, and I go, you know, you probably felt pretty good about where you were, especially on the defensive side. What was going right for you guys in that first quarter?
Yeah, I think we were, as simple as it is, just doing our jobs and executing our responsibilities. And even the first touchdown drive, you know, they had to drive a little bit. You know, they didn't just have one play, boom, touchdown. That's important to do, and you'll have a chance to get off the field at some point if you keep making them have to snap it again. And I thought early on in that game, that's what we were doing.
You play Texas Tech and Oregon back to back, from a defensive standpoint, those two defenses that you guys faced, what are they doing? How are they different? How are they similar when you see like a Texas Tech and an Oregon? If you can look back a little bit before we talk about your game this week.
Their offenses or their defenses?
Their defenses. You'd like you to talk maybe about Texas Tech defense and Oregon defense. Similar, different, you know. What are they doing?
They were similar in the fact that they were loaded with talent everywhere. Different how they played. Like Texas Tech was a vertical get off, let those edges go. The Oregon kind of a bully you at the line of scrimmage. They love plugging inside linebackers. And they got really good players to do it, punch and hole and things. So they were different in how they tried to beat you, but similar in that, you know, that there wasn't really a weak spot on it.
You had some success running the ball a little bit early in that Oregon game. Felt like you were pulling some guys and maybe taking advantage of the eyes of the linebacker. Am I reading that right from the press box? What were you guys doing offensively there?
Yeah, we were trying to create an extra hat at the point of attack. I think we had some success early on doing that, and that allowed us to get some good runs.
You get a different test. You get Houston this week. They will come to your place on a Friday night. I watched their game against Colorado. They're a very good team. What do you see on film?
Yeah, they're a very good team. You know, they're talented on both sides of the ball. They got really good athletes at the skill positions. You know, and then they do a good job of executing what they do. So it's going to be a challenge for sure.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State football coach. This is the point of the season where, you know, you haven't got the carrot, right? If there's a carrot dangling out there and you don't have that win. What's the psyche like? What's the locker room like? What's the psychology like right now? And how hard are you having to work to kind of keep those guys engaged if they're not getting the result?
You know, I don't know if people believe me when I say it or hard to believe, but it's been easy. These guys show up and work. It hasn't been hard to get them to come out and practice, and we had a good, really good week of practice. They're energetic. They're enthusiastic about what we get to do. So I've been very impressed with their maturity and their ability to continue to do that, because it is hard when you're in a stretch like we are.
How honest can you be with guys? Can you look back and go, look, we should have won this game. We haven't played well. I mean, do you have to be honest? Can you be honest as a coach when you're talking to those guys?
Yes, and I think that's part of it. Number one is us, them and us being honest with each other and being able to have those conversations about what's real and what's happened. And then I think from them and from us as coaches is every day you show up, you're the same person. And I think when you do that, the level of trust is created. We don't love the players when we win and, you know, scream and yell and dog cuss them when we lose. It's a consistent way that we show up and we teach and we approach it. And same thing with them. And I think that's what's led to, you know, the work that they're doing and then the locker room and the culture in it.
Malik Murphy struggled a little bit. I know a lot of fans were looking at him and critical of him. What was going on with him in the last game? And are you concerned at all about Malik's production?
I'm not. I think Malik was trying to do too much. That's what got him in trouble. And sometimes in big games like that, you're playing a team like Oregon. It's natural for a guy with as much talent as he had to try to win the game every play. He doesn't need to do that. And I think just getting back to trusting that, because I think there was a lot of improvement from Cal to Fresno to Texas Tech, where he was trusting the offense and trusting that. And he kind of got away from that in Oregon. But I feel he's going to get back there and continue his progression that he was having.
I've seen some coaches who are at a financial disadvantage come into the postgame and make it part of the postgame story. And I got to give you a fist bump because I didn't hear you doing that after the Oregon game. You weren't saying, hey, we can't compete against a team that's spending 30 or 40 million or whatever Oregon's spending on their roster. Nobody wants to hear that. And I think, you know, even if it's the truth, we all kind of know it's the truth. So, but how hard is that to not bring that up when you are looking across the ball and you're going, man, they've got talent and depth. Like you're talking about Texas Tech, same story, right? They have so much talent and so much depth that you start to go, okay, how perfect a game do you have to play to stay in the game?
Yeah, I guess the reason I don't bring it up is just kind of who I really don't talk or think about things I can't control. And so that's something I can't control and something we can't control. And so I try to focus on the things that we can. And so that's really the only reason. It's just not a thought process for me.
I've noticed it gets coaches in trouble too. It's like, you know, if I were an advisor to a head coach, I'd be like, don't talk about the money. Don't complain about the disparity. Your AD doesn't want to hear it. Your fans don't want to hear it. Media knows it. We all know. We can all see what you see. You're not telling us anything we didn't know. Looking forward to Houston and beyond on this schedule. I don't know how much you are allowed to peek ahead, but how far do you scout ahead? Do you stay on this game, or is part of your staff already working a game or two beyond?
No, there's a part of our staff that, you know, in the support staff roles that are ahead to the next game, and do that late in the week. And so when we get back on Sunday, we're ready to roll into the next game with some early scouting of who they are. But as far as the, you know, coordinators, full-time coaches, it's all Houston.
The Cougars on offense. What do you see when you look at them on offense? What are they trying to do? How much have they stayed true to what they showed in maybe week one?
Yeah, they're you know, they're another team, really good skill, really good receivers, quarterback's a good player, and then is more athletic than I think he gets credit for. He's hurt some people with his legs. But they're probably more committed. They want to run the ball than they want to throw the ball over your head. And that's kind of their identity and who they're trying to be, and they do a good job of it. And that's kind of how they hurt Colorado.
Does playing a team like Oregon help your guys? You know, I'm specifically thinking of your DBs, who had a really difficult task, I think, 2 weeks in a row with Texas Tech's receivers and then Oregon's receivers. And there were a lot of they were put on an island and they were challenged.
Yeah, I think what the good thing about playing teams like that is you get your weaknesses get exposed, and so now you know what you can and can't do, and what you're good at and what you're not, and then you hone in on the things that you're good at. And as coaches, you hone in on doing the things that your players can do and are good at. So that does show up when you play games like that.
You know, your dad coached for a long time successfully. I've talked to other coaches who know him and speak so highly of him. What did you learn from your dad that maybe you're applying now on a daily basis, or maybe you have applied in the last 2 or 3 weeks when things don't feel great, you know, and you're in there and you're in the middle of it?
Yep. Really, I got to see him. You know, he was at Washington State for a long time, and they had some really great teams, and then they had some really teams that struggled and didn't win very much. So I got to kind of be around that and live that, and that's kind of where my, you know, identity of coaching came from, of same person every day. They're not trying to not do it when you don't have success. Your job is to get them better, and staying focused on that. That's a big part of what I've learned from him and then carry forward in coaching.
When you lean on mentors at times like this, do you have a mentor now that you call upon? Are you willing to, is there a Dennis Erickson that you reach out to, or is there a Mike Riley you reach out to? Who's in your stable, your CEO group, more or less?
No, the guy that I talk to the most as a head coach is Brent Brennan at Arizona. Mm. He kind of went through some of the same things early at San Jose and then early last year at Arizona. He's been through that and kind of come out the other side. So he's been a big help for me, kind of just talking to him.
I was looking at Brennan last year, and we all know the guy can coach. He's won, you know, you win at San Jose State, you can coach. And, you know, Brennan was struggling, and the fans were calling for his head. Jed Fish, you know, wasn't all, peaches and rainbows at Washington. And Jonathan, even at Michigan State, had some struggles. You know, we watched guys who took over programs in that first year. You've got like 70 new faces on your roster. You're just trying to figure out, you know, who you can trust and your staff and who you're dealing with. There's a lot of stuff I don't think the rest of us understand that becomes part of a coach. I love that you can lean on a guy like that, and he's having great success this season. Like, do you have time in your week to talk to other coaches, or is it mostly just a text here or a quick call there?
It's kind of a great text here, quick call there. Sunday, you get a little bit of time. Sunday evening's kind of a time, and then every now and then you'll call or he'll call me, and we'll have a discussion. It's really just to check in on each other, and then some questions will come up.
Trent Bray is our guest. All right, you got a Friday night. What do you need? You got students back? What do you need from the home crowd at Reser Stadium on Friday night?
Having the students back is a great, great thing for the atmosphere. I'm excited about that. They always bring the energy that they're really the reason Reser Stadium is known for what it is and the environment that it is. And so having them back and, classes started today, Friday night, I think it's going to be an exciting atmosphere. And I think that's important for two reasons. It's important because, you know, for our players, it's an energy for our players. And then it's just college football in general. I think it's just a great thing to have great atmospheres and fans at games.
You still walk across the campus where you attended as a student, and there has to be some part of that that maybe feels gratifying to you on a sunny day. You know, you're the head football coach. Like, do you remember walking across that campus with a backpack heading to class?
I do. It because it hasn't changed much. So I definitely can walk around and see the same buildings and everything. So I definitely had that moment.
All right, Coach, go. Good luck, and go get them, and we'll talk to you next week, Friday night, Houston at Oregon State. Thanks, Coach.
Oh, appreciate it.
All right, there goes Trent Bray. I am fascinated by that tidbit that he threw in there about Brent Brennan. Fascinated. You know, I'm not good with how Oregon State's looked this season. Okay? They didn't look prepared in week one against Cal. They lost. They couldn't snap the ball to the punter in week two and lost a game they should have won pretty easily against Fresno State. Fresno State is a very opportunistic team. I don't know if you saw them last Saturday night around midnight. They're playing in Hawaii. You know, they win a two-point game against Hawaii where they survive a two-point conversion on the final play of regulation. Just, you know, very opportunistic team, and Oregon State left the door open. Fresno State punched them in the mouth, took it, ran off the field with the win. They had no shot, Oregon State, in the Week 3 game at Texas Tech. In over their heads. Texas Tech, too good, too deep, too talented, probably going to win the Big 12. Okay? And then they go to Oregon. You know who Oregon is. Oregon's great. Oregon's playing on another level, playing for stakes that, you know, Oregon State can dream of. So I look at this season and I go, you know, it has not been what Trent Bray hoped it would be. The fact that he's leaning on Brent Brennan at Arizona, who went through this last year and had people calling for his head mid-season, is fascinating. And I love it that he's doing that. I also love that he felt comfortable enough on the show to talk with some vulnerability about it. He's basically going, hey, I just talked to a guy who's going through what I went through. You know, I'm going through and he went through it last year. I always try to treat our guests with respect. I don't want to be nice to them. I want to be fair to them. And I think, you know, I have treated coaches and I have treated athletes and I've treated executives fairly. And sometimes being fair is when, you know, when Neil Olshey, the Blazers GM, you know, threw a haymaker or two at me, I threw a haymaker or two back. It's okay to hit back. That's fair. But Trent Bray in this situation is inherited a bad hand from Jonathan Smith. They have also inherited a makeshift schedule for this season that is less than ideal. They haven't been great in a less than ideal circumstance. If this were a fire drill, essentially they've tripped over a desk. They've failed to open the door. They didn't get out of the building. We need to go back and go back through the protocols and go, hey, you know, you need to make sure that everyone's safely outside. This is the path you take. And so you have to do some of that. But here comes some opportunities for Oregon State. This should be a much better game, a much more competitive game for them. What did they learn against Texas Tech and Oregon? They get something out of that? Because here comes Houston. Houston's not bad. I think Houston is sneaky, top half of the Big 12, middle to top half of the Big 12 by the end of the season. I think they're that good. But Houston's going on the road for the first time. We're going to talk about that in the next two or three days. Teams that are seeing things for the first time. Has Dante Moore played in front of 109 or 110,000 people in a hostile whiteout-like environment at Penn State? No, he hasn't. Here comes his first time. Has the quarterback at Ohio State had an opportunity to play on the road yet against an opponent that might be a little opportunistic? No, he hasn't. Will Ohio State go to Washington this week and struggle? We shall see. It's a lot of firsts that are happening. Oregon State looking for their first win. They got to get it. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Our big splash is coming up.